All right, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13, the Bible says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity or love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fall. They shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face now, I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." I'm going to speak to you concerning, I have two titles for this message, depending on how religious you are. For the very religious, I call the message "The Greatest Command, ... to love." The greatest command, ... to love. For the folks that's not so traditional, I said, what's love got to do with it? Let's bow our heads. In 1 Corinthians, we're going to begin with, in 1 Corinthians 13 and 1, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." I want my man to give you an example of what people sound like. No, that ain't it. Yeah, that's what they sound like. Do it again. Go ahead and do it again. Y'all up yet? Go ahead and do it again. The Bible says when you don't have love, this is what everything sounds. No, go ahead. Do it again. This is all your prophetic utterances. All your revelatory moments. That's what it is when you don't have love. Every revelation that you have, every exhortation. When you don't have love in your life. When you're not doing it in love and it's judgment. Everything that you said God told you about somebody else's life and you're not doing it in love. See, that gets on your nerve after a while, doesn't it? As well-meaning as anybody is, when you do that enough without love, it gets on everybody's nerves. All right. Give my man a hand. Help me teach him. I don't want to be sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. I don't want to be a person like that. I don't want to be so judgmental and not tempering things with love. So we want to talk about the greatest command is to love. And we're going to stay on this for about 4 or 5 weeks. We're going to talk about this because I've got some objectives in the series that I want to talk to you about. But I will give you the revelation up front, but stay on this slide. The revelation is this series will stimulate each believer to focus on their love walk. That's what we're trying to do with this series, to stimulate each believer to focus on their love walk. Each believer will understand that the love walk is the key to the operation of all principles. You're going to find out a little bit later that all the principles of God hang on this love walk. Pleasing God hangs on this love walk. Increase in the kingdom hangs on this love walk. So we're going to talk about this love walk for just a moment. Can y'all say amen to that? In 12, when you drop down to 12, it says, well, in 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Y'all can go ahead and if y'all need. I thought as a child. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. Thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part. I don't know everything, but now I know in part. But then shall I know even as I am known. So what is being said here, here is a place where I'm not tripped up into childish things. I know myself the way the Lord knows me. When I have this love about myself, I know myself the way the Lord knows me. I'm going to see the world the way he sees the world. I'm going to see my circumstances and my situations with clearer revelation because I'm viewing it the way the Lord wants me to view it. And not the way my past has told me to view it. Not the way my current environment tells me to view it. I'm viewing it the way God wants me to view it. In 13, it says, now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So the Apostle Paul says there are three things that are important now and will remain important. Faith, hope, and love. He said these are three things that are important right now and they will forever remain important. And then he said the greatest of these is love. So faith is when you can develop the ability to accept some things as true, although you don't have sense realm evidence. He said, faith is always going to be here. You won't have sense realm evidence, but you still have to believe it. Hope will always be here, and it's important. Hope is your ability to set your expectation without having all the data, without having all the information, yet you set your expectation just because God said it. I believe it because God said it. I don't need to see anything. I don't care what the statistics say. I don't care what the stereotypes say. I don't care what anybody else said just because God said it. I don't care if it's only so many men to one single woman. God said it, so I believe there's one for me. I don't care what the stereotypes are. I don't care what the statistics say about that. Because God said it, I will set my expectation. I know the data says that I've been in this storm a long time, and it doesn't look like I'm coming out of this storm, not just really by looking at my checkbook or looking at whatever's going on here or there or looking at my outside circumstances. It doesn't look like this storm is over, but my confession and my expectation is this storm is over. You can set your expectation just because God said it. Amen. It'll abide forever. But then the Apostle Paul says love is greater than all of it. Amen. Love is overarching and love is broader. And I will submit to you that if you develop your love walk, the other things will come along. You probably question and you say, "What? So you're telling me if I can develop my love walk, then my faith will grow?" Yes, I am saying that. So you're saying to me that if I develop my faith, then I will be able to have more. I mean, if I develop my love walk with God, then I will have more hope. Yes, I am saying that because love is broader. Love is overarching. And as you know God loves you, then you know he's not going to leave you in the same place that you're uncomfortable in. So your faith will grow and your hope will grow as your love walk grows. Now, I want to caution you. The Bible says the devil is not only the father of unbelievers, but he says he is the slave master of unbelievers. That means until you have submitted your will to God and the love that God has for you, until you have submitted to that, then by default, you're submitted to the devil's ways. Amen. You're submitted to his kingdom by default. So what he is waiting on you to do is he's waiting for you just about to get out of the hole of your crawl out of your hole of degradation. He wants you to get to that point and then he'll just jerk you back in because really what he wants to be able to do is torment you like you're in hell, although you're not there yet. He wants to torment you like you're there. He wants to mess with you and torment you just like he will in hell and make you think your life is hell. And it happens by default when you will not submit to this form of love. Amen. In John 14 and 21, he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. So it's not the person who's sappy that loves God. All right. It said it's the person who keeps God's commands will show whether they have the love of God in them or not. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, that is a very important point because it says when you love God, God will love you and he will manifest himself to you. Your love walk is so important because according to this scripture, revelation in your life, he said, I'll manifest myself to that person. So according to the scripture, pure revelation is dependent upon love and obedience and not just how holy acting people are or how holy acting people look. Love and obedience determines pure revelation and whether God is going to be manifested to you or not. Whether your destiny will ever unfold has something to do with your love walk. Can I just tell y'all how I arrived here? I was talking about love in the Tuesday night Bible study, and I thought it was such an elementary lesson, and then people were acting like they were awed by the lesson. I said, well, I need to do a whole series on this. Because I started studying about the revelation of love in the Bible, and it is so many facets to it. And it has so much to do with God manifesting himself in our lives that we need to know about this. Thank God for the Tuesday night crowd. Bless the Lord. Now, as I said, according to the scripture, pure revelation is dependent upon love and obedience and not just how holy acting somebody looks. Amen. Now, I had an opportunity one time I was praying and somebody said to me, I don't hear you praying. And my initial response to them was, I was not talking to you. That was my initial response. I wasn't talking to you. It's not important that you hear me. I was talking to God when I was praying. But I start thinking to myself, hey, I don't care that you think I'm out here praying and trying to act holy. I'm not trying to convince you that I'm praying. I'm trying to convince God I need an answer. I'm trying to convince God, manifest yourself to me in this area so that I can get out of this whatever I'm in or I can pull some people out of whatever they're in, whatever's going on. I'm not trying to convince people that I'm praying and look holy. I'm trying to convince God to give me an answer when I'm praying. And I don't care what it looks like or how much people hear or anything like that. I need the manifestation in my life. I told y'all before, I never preach for memorization. I preach for application. And John 15, 9 and 10, it says, as the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Drop down to 12. Listen at this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Look at somebody and say, we don't get to love people the way we want to. Look at the person on the other side and say, we don't get to love people the way we want to. Look at the person on the other side and say, we don't get to love people the way we want to be loved. Look at the person on the other side and say, we don't get to love people the way we want to be loved. According to this scripture, this is the starting point. The way we want to be loved. Many people think that's the end point. No, that's the starting point according to the scripture. The Bible tells us that we are to love people like God loves us. Not how we want to be loved or not how we think they want to be loved, but how God loves us. Now, let's check ourselves. God forgave us when we messed up. God still loves us even when we said we were not going to do it again, but we ended up in the same situation doing it again. But he still didn't withdraw his love from us.
When God still loves us when we didn't fulfill our debt to other people, and when we didn't fulfill our debt to him, he still loves us. He didn't withdraw his love. See, that is a starting point, how you want to be loved. But the Bible says we are to love people like God loves us. When we lied to him and said we would never do something again, and we did it anyway, he still loved us. God still loves us when we didn't listen, although he gave us the instruction, and it was explicit instruction. You almost have to pay somebody for you to miss that one. Still loves us. Now, let me give you a test. Why is it that we have all these rules for people in our lives? Because you did that, I ain't never speaking to you again. We have people that are not speaking to their parents because something happened in their family. I ain't talking to you no more because something happened. And well, see, that is not loving them like God loves you. That's loving them the way you want to love them, because you want to hold a grudge against them. And it really runs contrary to the Bible. This is the point of light. This is the point of light. Now, ain't going to be no misunderstanding in here. This is where understanding comes in and sits down. Whether you want him to sit down or not, he's going to sit down. I'm never speaking to you again. According to John 15 and 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We have rules for people when God said there should be a path to restoration in your life. Maybe somebody did hurt you. They don't have to accept the path of restoration. But why is there not a path to restoration with you? Why is it that you had to break fellowship completely and not talk to them again? And it's your aunt. It's your mother. It's your father. Why did you have to completely cancel them out of your life? And there is no pathway to restoration in your life for them, when God has given you a pathway to restoration with him, and it's called repentance. You cannot do anything so bad that you cannot repent and get back in fellowship with him. He said, now you got to love folks like I love you, not like you want to be loved. You want to know what love got to do with it? That's what love got to do with it. If you want to know why it's the greatest command to love, that's why it's the greatest command to love. Because God said, I want you to exhibit what I'm exhibiting to you. 1 John 4:11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. And in 19, drop down to 19, we love him because he first loved us. Now, that may have been some people's testimony, that you were really just after God. You were desperate for him, and you got him. But that ain't most people's testimony. No, they were strung out, and all of a sudden, they were not really having any deep questions about God and searching and researching. No, what happened is God showed you some act of love, and it blew your mind to such a degree that you said, I want a relationship with you. Or he showed something in somebody's life, and you said, I want to serve that God you serve because he showed you so much love, because I even know your past. See, thank God for the stuff we can't tell nobody. That testimony you can't tell nobody. It run us all up a tree. Thank God for that testimony. You don't have to tell anybody about that. Do you see what I mean? But it was the fact that God showed you so much love. Thank God. See, you don't want to turn the video camera on the day before you got saved. I don't either. I mean, I don't either. I don't want to turn back the video camera to the time before I got saved. I just thank God that I am saved right now. And it'll just make me run and shout because I'm not under the weight of my own sin anymore. Yeah, I thank God that he loved me first. That he showed me so much love that he brought me into the kingdom, even when I didn't deserve it. So what do I look like putting up barriers to people? To him at all. You can't come into the kingdom because of this. No, you can come into the kingdom with that, and we get you cleaned up, but you need to come on in anyway. Why? Because he loves you before you even knew anything about him. God expressed love toward us. Yes. How many of y'all just glad to be out from under the weight of sin on your own soulish nature, your mind, your will, and your emotions are not preoccupied with your own sin anymore. That you got to pay for everything you did. Thank God. I mean, I just want to, y'all got to watch me. Matthew 22:37, it says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said, these two commandments hang everything. The overarching theme of Scripture, the universal truth of God, all of the prophetic decrees of God, they hang on this love walk. They hang on whether you love God and then whether you love your neighbor. It hangs on these two principles. And if you can get these two principles right, then everything you believe in God for will come to pass. See, blessings will run you down and overtake you when you can get this love walk right. But when you can't get the love walk right, then a God give you a blessing, then all of a sudden you got to turn around and you know, talk about everybody. You know how folks do. Well, you didn't think I was going to make it, did you? Instead of witnessing to somebody about how good God is, there's no sense in running them down because they didn't think you were going to make it. So now you just want to. That's not what we do. That's not what we do. That's not how we show love. See, when you can perfect your love walk, then God can bless you with anything, and then you'll turn around and show love to people. Amen. You can walk in blessings. You can have the wisdom that you need because God says, look, your love walk is so developed that I can give you any amount of wisdom and you can solve these problems without lording over everybody else because your love walk is right. He said everything hangs on these two laws. I want to give you a couple of the objectives I have for the series. Y'all know this is the first lesson in about four or five more lessons that I'm going to do, depending on how much revelation God gives me. But the first thing I want to teach you is to teach you the awesome revelations that are associated with love. The awesome revelations that are associated with love. You don't want to miss one of these, and you want to invite people out to them. There are some awesome revelations that are associated with love. The second thing is to show you how important love is to a believer as they endeavor to walk with God. It's easy to look at this series as some character-building series to make me better. I'm telling you, this is central to your walk with God, and without it, you'll fall. Amen. That's what I want you to come into the realization of. This is not just, I know I need to love everybody better. This is not that. I'm going to tie this to this is a central part of your relationship with Christ. And without it, you'll fall. If you don't know that he loves you beyond a shadow of a doubt, and if you don't know that it is the greatest command for you to love him and for you to love your neighbor, and then he's going to watch after you in that whole perfection of your love walk, if you don't know that, you're going to know it by the end of this, and it will be central. See, today you should be more forgiving than you were 5 years ago. You should be kinder than you were 5 years ago. You should not have the same hot buttons. They used to say in the old church that I came, from in Mississippi, amen, walls, and benches. Everybody left us at that point. You should be kinder today than you were 5 years ago. You should not have the same hot buttons. When somebody says this to you, it used to set you off. But because of your love walk and the development of your love walk, it doesn't set you off anymore. Like I said, you need to be here for the rest of these. The third thing I want to do in this series is showcase the different kinds of love and how they fit into the life of a successful believer. Because really, we have one word for love. The Greeks had about five words for love, and they would use them in different ways. And see, I want you to develop. In fact, at the end of this service, I want to pray for the spirit of discernment so that you'll know how to walk in between these different types of love. So folks can quit getting tripped up. There is no love that is more important than agape love. Or do we have those on the board? There's no love that is more important than agapeo or agape love. But it is important for you to know how the rest of them fit into your life. Now, Remember these three things abide, faith, hope, and love, but you don't get to put them in the order that you want. He tells you that love is the greatest one. So agape is selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional love whose characteristics are described in 1 Corinthians 13. It is a fully committed, decision-based love whose actions are born out of grace and mercy, as well as you will receive extravagant rewards in agape love. Can I say that again? Agape love. It is a selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional love whose characteristics are described in 1 Corinthians 13. It is a fully committed, decision-based love whose actions are born out of grace and mercy, as well as you will have extravagant rewards. For an example, when somebody is exhibiting agape love, it is decision-based, fully committed, unconditional type of interaction that carries the extravagant reward. They pour favor all over you. They treat you like you're an inheriting son or daughter. But here's a good example. How many of y'all familiar with the Ford Motor Company? You know, Ford Motor Company was founded by Henry Ford years ago. And they still have people right now that are coming to work at Ford Motor Company. And they're coming there, and when people introduce them, they'll say, hey, this is so-and-so. And they may not have the Ford name. Because, you know, you may marry into the family, or if it's a lady, she marries somebody else. She got a different last name. But when that person leaves, they'll tell the people, hey, she's a Ford. What that means is don't badmouth the Ford family, because you're going to get yourself in trouble just because her name is Brown. That don't mean she ain't no Ford. She's a Ford. Do you see what I mean? So I want you to understand that when somebody agapes you, and in this situation with agape love, see, they said, this lady is a member of the family. She gets two paychecks. See, when I said extravagant reward, she gets two paychecks. She gets paid for the job that she is in and doing that job. But she also gets paid because she's related to the owner who's dead and left a trust fund. So she gets one check for this job, but she also gets a check not just for what she's doing, but she gets a check for who she is. Y'all missed that. See, y'all didn't catch the revelation right there. See, if you're a part of the kingdom, your daddy owns the company. And you not only get paid for what you do, but you get paid for who you are. See, you look like him. You act like him. You're doing the things he wants you to do. You're exhibiting this kind of agape love. And he said, I am going to reward you not only for what you do, but because of who you are also. You get two paychecks. Y'all still didn't get happy about that. I'll catch you about the second or third lesson. Bless the Lord. I'll catch you about the second or third. But there are extravagant rewards associated with agape love. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. Now let me get in somebody's cousin's business now. There is another form of love, and it's called eros or porneia. When we get our word pornography, eros, it is a physical or feelings-based love. And I know y'all don't watch this show, but The Bachelor, they had a guy on there by the name of Pablo, and he was dating 25 women. And anybody watch it, bless the Lord. You don't have to say you watched it. It's okay. But the woman said, Pablo, I love you. And see, Hollywood would have you to think that love is the same as agape love. And that love is not the same love as agape love. Agape love is sacrificial. See, there's no sacrifice in that. He got 24 other ones to choose from. Ain't no sacrifice in that. Ain't no full commitment in that. He's got several other ones of them to choose from. So she says, I love you. A better interpretation of what she said is, Pablo, I eros and porno you. I drank so much wine that I've lowered my inhibitions to I'm looking at you like, you the way you put together, I want to feel what you put together with, and I want to see what's going on under the hood and kick the tires. And I want to see, there's a different kind of, see, you can't get these two loves twisted. You can't get these two loves twisted. See, we just say love, but there's a different kind of love, because all eros and porneo has to do is pay for a night at the hotel, whereas agape has to pay for your whole life and eternity. Hollywood would have you to believe it's the same thing. When I'm telling you right now, it is not the same thing. One is selfless and sacrificial. One has only to do with themselves. Now, it is great in your life, and you need to figure this one out. Can I pastor you for a moment? Can I pastor you for a moment? When somebody comes to me and wants to get married, and they say, well, I love her, and they don't have a way to take care of her. You may not be ready yet. It's great that you eros and their need before you get married. There may need to be the fact in your eyes that you desire this person for the rest of your life. Not acting on it, but that you desire the person for the rest of your life. You see her and she says, my God, my wife came in and we were at another church. She came in all cream. I don't know what happened to me that day. I said, my God. I seen her a couple other times, but she came through the door with some cream on. I said, who is that? I'd seen her several times before that. And I said, I'm going to ask her to go to lunch. And 17 years later, it's good that you have that aspect to your life that the person looks the way you want them to look. But you got to make sure you ain't dealing with eros and porneo. That's all they want is eros and not agape. Eros will pay for the hotel room, but agape has to pay for the rest of your life. You got to know the difference. Brother James, I love you. Brother Osborne, I love you. Amen. Brother Calvin, I love you. And when I tell these brothers I love them, you would think I'm talking about what love? Phileo, brotherly love. You have to be careful with brotherly love because brotherly love is camaraderie. I love you because we bowl together. And when we quit bowling, you ain't my boy no more. We shoot rock together. We lift together. And when you don't want to go lifting no more, you ain't my boy no more. It's a different kinds of love. You ever let some people on a job that you were working, I said were working on, help make some important decisions about your life and you ain't even interacting with them anymore? Phileo, because y'all work together, but now y'all don't even talk no more because y'all ain't on the same job no more. Phileo. There's a scientific study that says, psychologist said men, I don't know whether this is true or not. Can y'all say, he doesn't know whether this is true or not. They said men don't bicker in a group as much as women do. Can y'all say he don't know if this is true or not? But there was a study that was done, and it says men tend not to bicker as much because within 12 minutes of walking into a room with other men and in a group with other men, they size each other up. And they set up a pecking order based on what you got on. What kind of material things you have on, they figure out who's got the most money. Could be a lie, but they try to figure out who's got the most money. They figure out in the group. See, that's why they said men don't bicker as much in the group as women do in the group because they size each other up and there's a pecking order. Everybody figures out who's the oldest in the group. And they figure out who's the oldest in the group, and as long as you don't break out of the pecking order, like of a young guy, we supposed to be treating the oldest man like he's our daddy and respecting him like he's our daddy, and somebody just start busting on him, and they're younger than him. All the other guys going to bust on him. See, that'll upset the group dynamics. Why? Because at its level, it's phileo. I told these brothers I love them because of agape. We're in the same place trying to win the world together. And it's not about whether you come up, whether you go bowling with me. It's It's not whether somebody carries my bag. It's not whether I know something bad about them or they know something bad about me. There is a path to restoration. If I ever find out anything bad about these guys that I love or these ladies that I love in this church, there is always a path of restoration. And it's not based on phileo. It is not based on any other type of thing. It is based on agape. We know each other is not perfect. And so we love you anyway. We love you anyway. That's why you have to be careful about phileo love. Because people can speak into your life and they just have that love with you of camaraderie. And you're letting them set a course for your life, telling you you shouldn't be a member of this church or that church, or you should do this or you should do. And they're setting the course for your life. And all they don't have agape for you. They have phileo for you. And they're always telling you what they want you to do because they have phileo for you. You have phileo for them. But there is no sacrifice in it. The day that you decide where we're going to lunch, y'all going to break fellowship. As long as you go where they want you to go. There's some folks right now that as long as somebody's doing as long as you're doing what they want you to do, then you get to stay in fellowship with them. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to really just spell that out. But as long as you're doing what they want you to do, y'all get to stay in phileo. But the minute you're not doing what they want you to do, because there is no agapeo, you don't want to go to that same movie anymore. I'm doing this for a reason. So if we can't go to that movie, then I'm going to go move with somebody else. Because I want to go to the movie. If I can't get ice cream with you, I want to get ice cream. I'm going to get ice cream with somebody else. Check to see. See, that's why I'm going to pray about discernment in these areas. Because there are some people that think they're down for them on agapeo when really it's just eros. It's just eros. And if it's just eros, you need to know it's eros. And you need to do something about it. They're not about to change their life for you. They're not about to change their marital status for you. Y'all can go talk to your cousin them about this because I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just saying if you know folks like this, they need to hear this. They're not going to change their marital status. They've been trying to get divorced for 2 years and they ain't got divorced and they ain't going to get divorced. They're not, because there is only eros and porneo. There is no agapeo. There is no agape love for you. They are willing to pay for that night, but they are not willing to pay for the rest of your life. Hard little cry right here. God loves you. Can I get anything? If you got anything out of the message, go ahead and stand to your feet and give God some praise. Folks, like, I ain't coming back here. I ain't bringing you back here no more.